Hence and grass. Ka eat with the shoe ye, where kashuk are ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikak. Gunish cheesh.
Listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, September 11th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, hawa, toksik nusum, salamat. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on our Instagram and Facebook pages. Conversations coming up this hour. Folk Fest in the fall? Yes, indeed. A benefit concert featuring the hit group from last spring, The Centuries. We find out the details today. Juno World Affairs Council features Dr. David Shirk tonight, talking on the topic Mexico at the Crossroads. We chat with him about what's in store for that talk. Renewable Juno is sponsoring Electrify Juno, a clean energy fair on September 21st. We have a preview. And today, we begin with the Tlingit and Haida Job Fair happening Monday, September 22nd, from 11 to 3 at Elizabeth Peratrovich Hall. And I am joined now from Sitka. Let me get them up on here. I'm joined now from Sitka. I have Kathy Miller, Tlingit and Haida's recruitment manager, and also Alan Bradley, Tlingit and Haida's recruitment and employment coordinator. They're both based in Sitka. Gunath Chi, Shatyadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here today. Wasiati, how are you today?
Very good. We're happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining. This is an exciting event that you all are having, the Tlingit and Haida Job Fair. So, Kathy, do you want to talk about just generally what the Tlingit and Haida Job Fair is, and then we'll get into some specifics about who's going to be there and such?
Sure. Yeah. So we have started to do a quarterly Tlingit and Haida Job Fair, where we, first started off with the idea of having our own departments there, highlighting positions they had open for folks to come in and learn about employment opportunities with us. We've grown it so we have other partners join us. And so we're really thrilled to be doing our third quarter coming up on the 22nd.
Okay, so they are happening quarterly now, which is cool. Do they always happen in Juno, or are you switching around different locations in Southeast?
We've had them just in Juno at this time.
Okay, great. Who is the job fair for? Maybe I'll ask Alan for this answer. Like, who should go to the job fair?
I mean, we're hiring from entry level to like director positions up there. So it's a wide variety of applicants that could come join us.
So it could be folks who are just out of school, but also people who might be looking for work who may have some experience as well. Yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
Correct.
Great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yep. And, do you have to register for this event, or is it something that you just show up to?
You don't have to register.
Okay. And Kathy, how many people in the past couple that you've done of these job fairs, how many people have you had show up?
We've had a showing of about probably 75 to 100 folks attend.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we've had, a good turnout. It's open to absolutely anybody. Anybody can come and join us. It's, we try to make it accommodating for people's schedules. We do it during the work week. So we've done it on a Monday, but the hours we're aware that folks might not be able to get away. So we try to do it during the lunchtime so they can break away and come join us.
Oh, yeah, like 11 to 3. Mm-hmm. So in that zone of lunchtime, which is perfect for folks who may already have a gig but are looking for something new, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Stroll on in and learn what we've got going on.
Yeah, okay. And I know that, Alan, you talked about who it's for and what kind of positions are available. Can you talk about some of the people who might be there that we can meet from Tlingit and Haida, the various different departments that might be there?
I'm sure. Some of the departments that we're going to have there are hospitality, our early education department, public safety, and then we have some partners such as Search is going to be there, Gold Belt, Allen Marine, and Sea Alaska Heritage.
Oh, excellent. Okay. So is that part of what you were talking about, Kathy, in terms of kind of expanding the reach?
Yeah.
Like you started it as Tlingit and Haida, but now you've invited these other partners in. How did that take place?
So just kind of using Search as an example, there's a lot of folks in particularly Juneau, you know, there's a lot of people looking for work there. There's a lot of people in the healthcare environment. We really felt like it was a service to bring that type of employer to the table. So if people, you know, if people are looking to get into tribal government or enterprises, we are a great option. If people are more interested in healthcare, Search is definitely the place people will want to go. So we wanted the idea of bringing employers together where anybody could go to this job fair and really find what they're looking for as far as their employment goals. So in addition to offering employment, we have expanded it to have some resources available. And when I speak of resources, Tlingit and Haida has an employment and training department. We have community navigators. We have general assistance and TANF. Someone new that's going to be there this time is our program compliance department, where they help people get enrolled and get tribal IDs. So we're really trying to expand it as understanding that employment is truly a resource for folks. So they can come in to look at employment opportunities with Tlingit and Haida, as well as some of our partners, as well as maybe they're not fully ready for employment, but, you know, learning about some more of the resources that are available.
It's kind of cool because you could learn about different positions that you may not even know exist, that then you could go get some training for and think, oh, yeah, I eventually would like to be, you know, in the Tribal Vocational Rehabilitation Department, or I want to be in a Juneau Community Navigator or something
Absolutely.
Like that, which is kind of cool. And so if you know folks out there looking for employment, this is a good, wonderful opportunity. Again, it's happening September 22nd. And I also want to bring up, you mentioned some of the partners, Kathy, Allen mm-hmm. Marine, and then Gold Belt and Sea Alaska Heritage. So that's kind of cool that more of the corporations, entities are getting together to partner, and as opposed to each individually having their own, you know, job fair, it's like a one and done for everybody.
Yeah, and that really is the goal. You know, of course, we want to fill all of our positions. We want people to come work for us, and we're a great place to work for. But we do want, our goal is to help as many people as possible. So we realize that extending that reach to some of our partners will benefit some of the attendees, definitely.
Absolutely. So I want to ask you each just a little bit about what you do. Alan, you are the recruitment and employment coordinator. What does that job entail?
I handle the new employees. I mean, new employees from onboarding them to also helping offboarding them. So, and I also do a lot of data entry for our department.
I see. Okay, that's cool. How long have you been doing that?
I've been here for 3 years, and I started as an admin assistant and have moved up to this employment and recruitment coordinator.
I love that. Internal promotion. Awesome.
Absolutely.
That's really cool. And yep. Kathy, you're the recruitment manager. What does that entail?
Yeah, so working with, really identifying the needs based on the departments and their hiring needs, working with the managers, developing the job descriptions, really finding the best fit for the role that they need. That's a big portion of it. you know, and then like Alan was saying, you know, we make sure that the folks get in the door and are constantly trying to improve that effort of onboarding and just, you know, making sure new employees feel welcome and that their onboarding experience is a good one.
How many employees at Tlingit and Haida?
We are about, I want to say we're probably around 550, just under 600.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah.
We've grown.
That is awesome. And so, again, this is the Tlingit and Haida Job Fair. It's happening September 22nd, which is a Monday, from 11 to 3 in the morning to the afternoon, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be happening at Elizabeth Baratrovich Hall. Everyone is in welcome, and you can meet the staff from Tlingit and Haida, as well as Alan Marine, Gold Belt, Sea Alaska, Search, and, of course, this is important. Bring your resume, right? And be ready to potentially have an interview on the spot. Do you have any tips, Kathy, on like what kind of questions someone should prepare for to be ready to answer on that day?
I mean, I think just having, you know, the most recent up-to-date resume is good. We typically, the types of positions we've interviewed for on the spot are not necessarily your full-time benefited positions, because that would be more of a panel interview, but some of our hospitality jobs, which we hire year-round for like baristas, prep cooks. Another one I can think of would be like the Elizabeth Hall event technician, some of those that are not necessarily full-time right off the bat. Those are the ones that they could do like a really quick interview and start, you know, like a pre-hire drug screen and initiate some background check processes. So I really think just having your resume and have a few of them available so you can hand them out to different folks. I think that's the best advice that I would have for folks coming.
Okay, pass them out to people. Is this only for tribal members?
We broke up just a little bit there.
Oh, I was asking, I'm sorry. I was asking if it was only for tribal members or is...
It's not.
Not.
Nope.
Okay, everyone is welcome.
Nope.
Okay.
Everyone is welcome. You know, if you're looking for a new position, if you're looking to find out some information on resources, one of the things I did want to, before I get off the line here, is one of the folks that we're going to have there, and although there's not this position in Juneau, for folks that might be interested in law enforcement, we will have the village public safety officer recruiter on site there for some of the smaller areas, and I just want to be sure that we put in a pitch for them, because they'll be there, and so they serve those real smaller, you know, the smaller communities, and it's a wonderful opportunity for people looking to get into that type of career.
Excellent. It's Kathy Miller, Tlingit and Haida's recruitment manager, Alan Bradley, who is the recruitment and employment coordinator. It is the job fair happening on Monday, September 22nd. And to find out more, there is a Facebook event for this. So you could search Tlingit and Haida Job Fair on Facebook. And I'm sure you can also find information at tlingitandhaida.gov.
Yes. But it would be wonderful if ones are interested, if they could go in and indicate they're interested and or attending
on the Facebook event. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just search Facebook. I'll also link it to the web post for today's episode. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining me.
Yeah.
I really appreciated learning about this.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Appreciate it. All right. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. We'll be right back. This is a star party coming up right now.
This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the reasons for the seasons. There's a misconception that the reason for the seasons is that the Earth's orbit around the sun is not a perfect circle. When the Earth is closer to the sun, that's when we'd have summer. And when the Earth is further away, that's when we'd have winter. Now, that's not true for two reasons. One is that if it were true, we'd have the same seasons in the northern and southern hemispheres, and that's not true. The seasons are opposite in the two hemispheres. And the second reason it's not true is that the Earth is closest to the Sun in January, and the Earth is furthest from the Sun in July, and that's just the opposite of how we experience the seasons in the northern hemisphere. The true reason for the seasons is that the Earth's axis is tilted at 23.5 degrees, so the Sun's rays, when they're directly impacting the northern hemisphere, that's when we have summer in the north and winter in the south, and just the opposite when the Sun's rays are not direct on the northern hemisphere, that's when we have summer in the southern hemisphere and winter in the northern hemisphere. Now, this tilt, if it was minimal, if the Earth did not have any tilt, we would not have any seasonal variation. If the tilt was more than 23.5 degrees, we'd have greater seasonal variation. And also, this tilt means that at the equator, day and night are always 12 hours. As we move away from the equator, we have more extremes of day or night. At the poles, we can have 24 hours of day and then 24 hours of night. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie-Drake Planetarium. We're doing public shows again. Our schedule is on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. You can even make a comment, and I might see it, which is always appreciated. So thank you so much for listening and tuning in on the live stream. So, Renewable Juno is here. Electrify Juno is their next event, and I have two people in the studio with me today to chat about it. Going to cheese for being here today. I'd like you both to introduce yourselves for me. Tell me what you do with Renewable Juno. We'll start over here.
Absolutely. Gunas, so much for having us on. We're so glad to be here. My name is Connor Lindrum, and I am the event manager for Electrify Juno.
And I'm Steve Benke. I'm on the board of Renewable Juno, which is the organization that's putting this thing together.
Okay. So, Steve, as the board member, what is Renewable Juno?
Renewable Juno is an information and advocacy organization promoting clean energy for Juno. We're all about electrification, energy efficiency, reducing carbon, saving people money.
And when did the organization begin?
About 2016, 2017. And,
okay.
Yeah. And we've done, I've been in talk to you about heat pumps over the years a number of times. We did a lot of promotion early on, 6-7 years ago, about heat pumps and other forms of electrification.
I love that. Yeah, it's so cool. Now, I know it's interesting. We just posted this story on KTOO.org about the electric cars and how Lonnie out at Affordable Auto is like, I got to put them on the ferry now because they can't come on the shipping containers,
right.
Which is really interesting. You know, I mean, I think that's fascinating because I feel like we've seen I know that's not the only thing y'all do in terms of electric, but electric cars have become a thing here in Juno, it seems like.
Electric cars are a big thing. There's about 1,100 of them in town, big chunk of our transportation now is electric vehicles, and getting more all the time, or would like to if we didn't have hurdles like that. And that's one of the topics that we're going to be discussing. We're going to have a booth on electric vehicle myths and misinformation. One of the topics will be that we'll be discussing at our fair.
Oh, nice. And I went to L.A., I don't know, it was last fall or something, and I have an electric car now here in Juneau. And one of the things I appreciated by going to L.A. was that in Juneau, most of the charging stations are no cost. Which is when you go to L.A. and they say they have the most electric cars of anywhere, but then finding an open and available charging station that works, and that the and because there's so many companies now that are managing those. We went to one in like a garage, and it wasn't working. And I called the number, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that one's out of commission." and it was insane.
Well, it's a challenge, and Juneau has a unique system. Really, it's kind of this collaborative, community-based system for doing these public EV chargers.
It's absolutely awesome. That's one of the best things.
And one of the reasons why we're putting on this event is because our understanding is that a lot of people in Juneau don't really realize how good we have it. AELNP is able to provide such incredible clean electricity to Juneau at such an affordable rate compared to the national average. I believe I went to a tour of their Gold Creek generator, and they were saying that their national average cost is 11 or 12 cents per kilowatt hour here in Juneau with AELNP. The national average is like 21 or 22 cents. So it's almost half.
Wow.
It obviously fluctuates seasonally. And like they were really important to emphasize, it's not always the same. And so I want to do the same. But it means that the cost offset of having an electric vehicle here in Juneau is even better than it would be in, say, LA.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I was going to say, and that's a key reason that we're putting this event on is we're looking, this is part of a national event called Sunday, which is happening on Sunday the 21st. It's a national event to celebrate renewable energy. And that's been created by a number of groups around the country, but they're putting on this Sunday.
Special day
to celebrate renewables as a counterweight to the fossil fuel industry and the fossil fuel interests. And Juneau is such a showcase for that because we've had renewable power for 100 years. And we're making incredible use of it. So as the rest of the country catches up and figures out how to do solar and how to do wind and so forth, we're kind of on the cutting edge in terms of being able to use that clean hydro to do the work that we want to do, which is move people around in cars and heat their homes with heat pumps. And and so Juneau is really kind of out there. And that's kind of what the fair is intended, to celebrate that, look at the businesses that are taking advantage of it, look at the opportunities for heat pump adoption. We've got Alaska Heat Smart that's going to be putting on, rolling out a new rebate program that provides $4,000 to $8,000 rebates for heat pumps here in Juneau.
Yeah, that is almost automatically you qualify for.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be a lot of information at this fair that is, like, it's right there in the name, Electrify Juneau. All the different ways that you can incorporate electricity into existing other power systems or replace other power systems. Like, you know, I mean, it's Juneau. A lot of people heat their homes with oil, and that's expensive. And also, we all know the other downsides to using oil. And so when you switch over to electricity, you are saving money. I mean, there's an upfront cost, of course, with the upgrade. But this fair is Electrified Juneau. We're going to have a whole section that is about savings start at home. And so that's going to have Alaska Heat Smart, which is a nonprofit all about that. It's also going to have one of our top sponsors, True North Federal Credit Union, who offers low interest loans to help finance things. And we'll have contractors there to talk about like the real world effort it takes to upgrade your home to have heat pumps. And so that's just one section. We have five sections. We've got one about local businesses. We've got one about our infrastructure. We've got one about gasless transportation, which is where our EVs will be talking about. And we've got a section that's all about Power Together, that is all of our different community and activist groups. So other ways to get involved if you're not in a position to, you know, buy a new car or upgrade your home's heating system.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Connor and Steve from Renewable Juneau. We're talking about Electrify Juneau, a clean energy fair, which is happening on Sunday, September 21st. It's going to be from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Jack. It's free of charge. And like Connor was just explaining, there's a lot of different sections that will be covered in those 3 hours that it's going to be happening on that day. So why, Connor, did you all decide to put on the Electrified Juno Clean Energy Fair? Where did the idea come from?
You know, where the idea came from is a better question for Steve, okay. But I know the why, and it's because there are so many different events that happen in Juneau. There's rallies. There is other great events that happen that are about like renewable energy, that are about sort of general climate activism that are really great. They do have a kind of emotional hurdle sometimes because it's a rather heavy topic. You know, global warming is a big problem mm-hmm. that no individual or even one beautiful small town in Southeast Alaska is able to tackle. But the idea of this fair is that every person who walks in is going to be able to walk out knowing at least one thing they can do in their life practically to either try and move the dial on like a larger political scale through one of our activist groups, or practically in their life, in their home, in their car, in the businesses they visit, that will also affect things just right here in our own personal environment.
Oh, that's cool.
Connor covered it pretty darn well. But the kickoff really was this national event, this Sunday event that's happening nationally. We wanted to participate in that. We wanted to have Juno be represented. We're actually the only event that's in Alaska at the moment. There are a couple 300 plus events around the country for that happening on that day.
Well, Juno is such an amazing community and people mm-hmm. coming together for this. But what's cool about this event is not only are you going to have these stations, but I hear you're trying to make it fun for the whole family. So what exactly. else is going on there, Connor?
You know, it's the Electrified Juno Fair. It is going to have carnival games. Thank you so much, UAS. They're letting us rent out some of their carnival games. And so we're going to have like a giant Jenga, like foam axe throwing, no real axes, but things like that where like kids can come, adults can come and play. And also we're going to have live music. We're going to have Lisa Denny. We're going to have Fish Hook. We're going to have Dara Relatos. We're going to have Marion Call perform. Just wonderful, like, you know, Juno performers who have a really fun atmosphere. And we're also going to have some free ice cream sundaes. It's
what?
Sunday. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, come by, have some ice cream, have a snack, have a good time. It's free entry. We're also going to have food carts outside. So, you know, skip lunch, come have a bite. And another thing that's really important to know about this for this year is that, you know, shout out to Duff Mitchell. We are combining with the EV Roundup this year. So if you're out there and you are one of the 11,000
1,100.
It would be great if it was 11,000. 1,100 EV owners like out there in the world in Juno, and you like to come and drive your car and talk to the other EV owners, like this is the event this year. We're going to have the lot across the street in front of the buoy deck. That's going to be our spot for all of our like private owners. And then the parking lot right next to the Jack is going to have a bunch of cool EV features as well. We're going to have one of the electric city buses. We're going to have an electric boat. We're have some of the electric cars that local businesses have adopted for their personal fleets to help reduce their own impacts here in town. And
I think
also
Domino's has an electric car.
They have a Bolt.
It's not too late. We got a week left. Yeah. We can still get them
still get them involved.
Yeah. And so all of that is going to be in the same place.
Okay. So I know you have a Facebook event page for it. You can mm-hmm. search, Electrified Juno, and I'm sure you'll find that event. I'll link to it on the page for this episode today on our website. But you can also go to renewablejuno.org.
Correct.
And find out more about not only this, but everything that you have at Renewable Juno, other events that might be coming up, things that you're doing, events that you have.
Yeah.
And if you go to there's a link at the top that goes to a page on the Renewable Juno website that is dedicated to the event. And on it, there's a PDF that is a guide of all the booths that are going to be available separated by section.
Oh, that's
and
so good.
And so you can even get a little glimpse of like what every person is going to be there and like a general sense of what they're about.
Okay. And before we go, I know you've mentioned a couple people you've partnered with. Are there other folks that you want to shout out before we go?
Absolutely. We have been so blown away by the amount of sponsorship and partners that we've been able to gather together that have wanted to support this event. But in particular, we want to really thank IBEW, Juno Hydropower, AELNP, Hanson Gress Technical Support, and True North Federal Credit Union. They have given and sponsored at the top level, and we're just so grateful for the amount we've been able to pack into this event because of their support and the support of our other sponsors.
Excellent. It's Electrify Juno. It's on Sunday, the 21st of September from 2 to 5 at the Jack. You can find out more at renewablejuno.org or search Facebook for Electrify Juno and you'll find out all about this event. Steve, Connor, thanks so much for coming and Gunnar Cheese for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Gunnar Cheese, Boston.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The forest is snow-free on this chilly March day, and hiking off the trail, I spot a beautiful three-point antler lying on the ground. Shed last fall by a Sitka black-tailed deer. I could leave this for mice and porcupines to chew on, providing a little calcium for their diet, but it's very nice, and I tuck it into my pack. Sometimes those chew marks make a shed antler look cool, neat rows of parallel scratches made by those tiny teeth. I'm not a dedicated horn hunter, as many such people describe themselves, although they're actually antler hunters, but I do save shed antlers when I find them. In Alaska, it's legal to keep naturally shed antlers and the bones and skulls of terrestrial animals. I find beaver and porcupine skeletons and I save the skulls, which are actually pretty similar looking. I picked up mouse and vole skulls out of owl pellets. Although it's usually legal to keep shed antlers and bones, it does depend where you find it. Land ownership is important. It's illegal to take anything out of a national park. So a moose antler shed on the Gustavus Forelands is legal to take, but if it falls off a mile away in Glacier Bay National Park, it has to stay there. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Thursday, September 11th, and taking a look back at this day in 1886, Sisters of St. Anne's opened a hospital and a school right here in Juneau. That's a look back at this day in 1886.
That was a little Mike Lane with the On the Day segment. You can listen to Mike every morning on KTOO during Morning Edition, Monday through Friday. You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. Tonight at 5:15 downstairs here at KTOO, the Juno World Affairs Council is welcoming Dr. David Shirk, a professor of political science and international relations at the University of San Diego, for his talk, Mexico at the Crossroads, Moving Backward or Forward in 2025. The reason I hesitated there is I had a typo on my page, and I knew it wasn't shirt, so so I had to look somewhere else on my notes to make sure I got the right name. So Dr. David Shirk, he's a professor of political science and international relations at the University of San Diego, and he's also co-author of Contemporary Mexican Politics, recently released in its updated fifth edition. Wow. Gunnar Cheese, Shatyadi, thank you so much for both of you being here today. I really appreciate it. Wasiati, welcome to Juno.
Thanks so much for the invitation.
Oh, there we go. Say that one more time for me.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you.
Thank you for not calling me Shrek. I appreciate that.
No, I definitely knew it wasn't that. I was just like, whoa. And this is your first time to Juno.
That's correct. Yeah.
Oh, that is so awesome.
It's a beautiful place. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, and we have this lovely rain to welcome you. It's how we live most of the year.
We need some of that down in San Diego.
So yeah, I bet. We need more of your sun. We had some of it this summer, but it's gone away apparently, but that's all right.
Well, you can see Boston's webbed feet.
Yeah, that's true. So, Bruce, just remind folks real quick before we talk to Dr. Shirk about his talk tonight, about the Juno World Affairs Council, these talks that you sponsor, why you do that.
Yes, well, the Juno World Affairs Council has actually been in operation for some 42 years in Juno. We try to bring programs, individual speakers, once a month during the school year, basically. We host an annual forum, which will be taking place in October, where we bring in multiple speakers to focus on a particular theme. This year, that theme will be looking at the United Nations Convention on Law of the Sea and its implications for Alaska, for the United States, the consequences of us not having ratified, and the possible benefits of doing so, which has become a particularly timely topic given the developments recently in the Arctic, the expansion of Russian and Chinese activities in the Arctic, and competing claims over the seabed, among other things. Then our other major event of the year takes place, and this year will take place on January 31st, is our annual World Affairs Forum, which, well, not the forum, but what we call World Quest, and it's our trivia.
The trivia that Carl Brodersen puts together.
Absolutely right. I mean, he's the magician that makes it happen every year. And then the other activity that we undertake is our Tuesday night travelogues. And again, once a month, we'll have a Juno speaker focus on some travel event that they've done in some obscure corner of the world. And Junoites, as you know, travel everywhere. And we'll be starting that program in October as well.
In October. Okay. Great. And of course, you can find out all the information at jawc.org. It has all the events that are coming up and keeps you updated on what's going on. Dr. David, let's talk about Mexico. So you have been interested in this topic for a long time. You've written books on the subject. How long has it been a topic for you?
I first went to Mexico my freshman year at Lock Haven University in Pennsylvania and studied abroad my second semester and just fell in love with Mexico. It's an incredibly beautiful country in terms of the natural beauty. The people are some of the kindest, most wonderful people in the world. The food is great, and it's also a place that has a lot of contrasts and complexities that really just rope you in. So I ever since have traveled pretty regularly there and got very interested in the place.
When you were first there, I'm curious about, was there a particular event or person or something that happened in that first trip that really sort of sparked for you?
Well, I think I did have a girlfriend, and so I went back for a second semester, and that really cemented the experience. But I think the thing that most connected me or drew me to Mexico was when I started graduate school in the fall of '93, and on January 1st, 1994, after I had taken one class on Mexican politics, suddenly it became just an incredible unfolding of history before my eyes. The Zapatista rebel movement came out of the jungle on January 1st to protest the North American Free Trade Agreement. There were political assassinations that year. There was the 1994 peso devaluation. Popocatépetl, the big volcano right outside of Mexico City, exploded in that first year span of a year. And all of those events really just were so incredibly earth-shaking, no pun intended, that it kept me really interested and engaged over the next several years. And the events that unfolded, the democratization of Mexico, its opening of its economy to the United States, and even some of the challenges that we've dealt with in terms of immigration, all of those issues became were playing out as historic events in real time. And I think it just it's been incredible to be able to bear witness to and to try to be involved in some of those developments.
And I know that we hear a lot these days about the immigration issue, about the wall, about, you know, all the different things that have come up that are sort of in the zeitgeist of, you know, common knowledge. But I'm sure that there's so many layers and other things going on there. So tonight, in about 90 minutes or so, downstairs here at KTOO for the JWAC Forum, you're going to be talking about moving backward or forward in 2025. What is your topic going to be talking about tonight?
Yeah, I really think, you know, Mexico is at this interesting crossroads. I mean, many of the things that I just described, entering the North American Free Trade Agreement, for example, opening up its economy and connecting it more deeply with the United States, you know, we're seeing a tremendous reversal in terms of the U.S. posture towards Mexico and towards much of the world. And we're really stepping back from what we called in the 90s and the 2000s the Washington Consensus, the idea that we would see specialization gains from trade, the whole neoliberal idea of how economics should work, and a much more economically nationalist posture in the United States. And Mexico's making its own choices to move in that direction as well. I think we're also seeing Mexico revert to some degree back to the one-party dominant system that characterized Mexico for much of the 20th century. And that unfortunately, may mean we'll see a Mexican politics that is more more corrupt, more stagnant, and, you know, unfortunately, some of the bad habits that we saw in Mexico throughout much of the 20th century, human rights abuses, mismanagement of the economy. So I really do think that we're at a critical juncture for Mexico. Arguably, we're at a critical juncture here in the United States and in much of the world. And so I want to talk a little bit tonight about how Mexico got here to this point and what its options are looking forward.
Interesting. Are you going to cover as well Claudia Sheinbaum? Is that how you say her name?
That's how we say it in the U.S. Sheinbaum would be the Mexican pronunciation.
Okay.
She is the first female president of Mexico, elected back just last year in 2024. She's the first Jewish descended president of Mexico. And she's a longtime leftist activist who is very well educated. She's got her PhD in environmental engineering. She's written a couple of books, dozens of scientific articles. She believes in climate change and has worked much of her life to promote environmental sustainability. She's a champion of women's rights and also of general social welfare programs along the lines of her political mentor, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the previous president. And she's incredibly popular. She's one of the most popular presidents in the world right now, with around 80% public approval.
Wow!
And she's got a lot of promise, but she also has she has political forces that she has to answer to, and that will really it's going to be very interesting to see how she what direction she decides to take the country.
And interesting to think about the relations with the United States in terms of our current political climate and the relationships there and how she's going to navigate that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, she is an extremely thoughtful and careful politician. She is not prone to emotional or, you know, sort of ideological displays, and she's handled herself extremely well, extremely carefully in relation to the, you know, the unpredictability and even the hostility that we've seen from the Trump administration. Some people, I think it was Fortune magazine, referred to her as the Trump whisperer, I think that she's certainly trying to anticipate and get out in front of some of Trump's possible lines of attack. So she's been very proactive, for example, in working with the U.S. government on managing migration flows, helping to shut down flows at the southern border of Mexico. She's also, I think, been very forthcoming and cooperative on security issues, turning over dozens of drug traffickers that have, languished in Mexican prisons for years and that were sort of protected. So she's, I think, been very smart about her approach and trying to figure out where there are common areas of interest and ways that she can help make sure that Mexico stays out of the crosshairs.
Mexico at the crossroads, moving backward or forward in 2025. Dr. David Shirk will be giving this talk tonight at 5:15 downstairs here at KTO as part of the Juneau World Affairs Council public forums. And if people can't make it today, Bruce, it is filmed and will be available.
That's absolutely right. It'll be both on our website and K2 makes it available statewide for rebroadcast. I guess the other point I would make is that all our events, except for our WorldQuest event, are free and open to any member of the public.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you so much, Bruce, for coming in. And David, thank you so much. Gunathish, break a leg tonight on your talk. Really appreciate you being here today.
Thanks so much for having me, Boston.
You're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Besikuli. The word this week is tih.
Tih.
That means chum or dog salmon. And here's a sentence.
Tih tu dis lind dach uch och yes yut.
Dog salmon too. They swim to Teslin in the fall. Let's hear it again.
Tih.
Chum or dog salmon. Gunash jish tu chune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Besikuli is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Deslin and grew up spending time in Teslin. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Takhu Society.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Well, it serves me right. Take a chance on you. You done me wrong. I'm feeling blue. Hush my mouth. It's what they say. Maggot girl, just walk away. Well, I hope that we were doing fine. Sharing love, yes, all the time. Tell me how I was. I don't know. I'd be all tore up and feeling low. Well, it serves me right. Take a chance on you. You done me wrong. I'm feeling blue. Up and feeling low. Well, I hush my mouth. It's what they say. Maggot girl, just walked away.
You are listening to Community Supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's a little bit of the Centuries. Serves me right. This past April, the Centuries played an electric set at the Alaska Folk Festival. They also just wrapped up a tour as the backing band for Deke Dickerson, who was this year's festival guest dance band, who we also featured on a special live Juno afternoon, a full hour of Deke Dickerson, which was awesome. And now, a week from now, on Friday, September 19th, the Centuries are back in Juno for a Folk Fest fall fundraiser, a lot of F's there, at the Jack. And I have a preview here with board members Hannah Wilson and Reber Stein. Gunnath Cheesh, HaEAD, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Wasiti, Hannah, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having us. We're super excited to get to hype everyone about this cool event. Thanks
yeah,
again.
It's so cool. And Reber, welcome. Gunnath Cheesh for being here. Thank you so much. You were instrumental in getting the Deke Dickerson and the Western Swing All-Stars for our special one-hour show on that Friday, which was awesome.
Absolutely. And, I mean, what an extraordinary group of musicians.
It was so cool. And now the group of musicians that was backing Deke then, it wasn't the Centuries. It was a bunch of other folks.
Correct.
This tour that they just did, it was Deke Dickerson and the was it the Whispers?
Whippersnappers.
Whippersnappers.
Whippersnappers. So I think Deke has gone out of his way to cultivate an interest in roots music among a younger generation, and so
yeah.
So I think he's doubling down on that that age gap that,
yeah.
that he has with the three fellas in the Centuries, and when they back him, they go by the name of the Whippersnappers.
I love it. It's so cool. So Hannah, just remind folks. I think most people in Juno know what the Folk Festival is, but just remind us about the Folk Festival.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Folk Festival is a week-long free folk music festival in second week of April in Juneau every year. We just had our 50th anniversary festival this last year, which was amazing. Had Rhiannon Giddens as the headliner, which was so special, such a treat for Juneau. It's a great community event. Just really tries to bring folks together to celebrate spring and music and community every year.
Rhiannon came in here and did some songs and just like blew this little room away. It was unbelievable. And her work on the stage with all the folks she was playing with was pretty awesome. So Reber, what's the deal with fall fundraiser? How did this idea come about?
Well, I think the Folk Festival from time to time has hosted a fall fundraiser of sorts. And so we're, you know, the idea is both to continue to raise money for a successful marquee event, as well as, you know, engage the community and do something fun in the fall. And scheduling for us worked out to do something here the end of September, and so we're excited to bring the Centuries up for this event at the Jack.
Was there a reason that you picked the Centuries, or was it that they were available and interested in coming to Juno? How did that work?
You know, they visited Juno, or they performed for the first time in Juno in April, and they were met with just a lot of enthusiasm, and it wasn't my idea. There were other board members that were interested in bringing the Centuries back. They earned a standing ovation during their 15-minute set on the main stage.
Wow.
They did play a couple of shows around town during the few days they were here. And this is an opportunity for people to catch the Centuries this fall.
Let me catch people up here. It's the 2025 Alaska Folk Festival Fall Fundraiser. It's going to be at the Jack, not tomorrow, Friday, but next Friday, September 19th. It's going to feature the Centuries, who we heard a little bit of, and we'll probably go out today with a little bit more. You can tell they're just like electric in terms of how they play. And there's also going to be an opening set by the Hot Club of Juno. The doors will open at 7. And if you're interested for more information, you can get tickets at the Jack box office, jahc.org. You can also go to akfolkfest.org to find out more about this event, and also maybe a little preview of what's to come and the date. Are we already have the dates for next April and everything?
We do have the dates. I think that is April 6th through the 12th. I think those are the dates.
No vacations then. You stay home. You stay home in Juno.
We'll
the Folk Fest.
I was just remarking to Hannah that although this is the end of work for a lot of folks on their seasonal journey, journey through the year. This is the beginning of crunch time for Folk Festival board members as we really get ready for next year's Folk Festival.
Right, because you start to have to figure out who's going to be there, the timing of everything, figure out, do we have any tease yet of who the guest might be next year?
We can't disclose it yet. We're of course, we're privy to things that are going on in behind the door here, but it's not quite ready for an announcement.
Not quite ready for prime time, as they say.
Yeah.
When do you usually make that announcement? Is it usually sometime in the early part of the winter, January?
Yeah, usually in January we'll open up applications for performers then and usually try to get the word out about the guest artists, really just get the event on people's radars for the spring.
It's one of my favorite things. I used to make a joke about the Folk Fest, which is, you know, it's so funny when you finally get the dates announced and everything, and people say, you know, like they're just having a good time on a Friday night, and they go, we should have a band and do Folk Fest, right? Like, it's a cool thing because you see so many awesome things from people who've never really even played music before getting up on the stage to people like Rhiannon Giddens, right? Yeah. And so you get this full sort of really a good sense of community about terms of our music scene here.
Yeah.
Because it's not just folk music that gets played there, it seems like.
Well, I think our approach, or at least as I understand it, the Folks Festival, the definition of folk music is really any music that people play.
Yeah.
And that it's a pretty broad definition, and that's what we see. And there's a lot of down-home music, and then from time to time we see people bring up their drum sets and their amplifiers and
rock it out.
Exactly. So it's a broad definition.
So this fundraiser is next Friday night. How do people – it's a ticketed thing because it is a fundraiser. Right. Is there other things going on around it, or tell us the price and all that
kind of
stuff?
Sure. There are three tiers of tickets. I think our first tier is
– 25, and that's going to be just a standing room only ticket. But, you know, the sentries, you're going to want to dance the whole time, so that's no trouble. $35 ticket will get you a seat, so you have somewhere to put your drink, put your coat. And then if you want to be, you know, a big supporter of the festival, you can get a $60 VIP ticket. That's going to get you one free drink and a seat in a really nice little raised seating area, so you'll be able to see the band really well. But then, of course, can still go mingle and dance as much as you want. And there will be a bar serving beer and wine. So, you know, doors are at 7. Come get a drink. Come here, Hot Club Bujuno. Catch up with your friends you haven't seen all summer. And then the band will start at 8.
Does that mean that it's 21 and over only, or can you come in if you're less than 21?
You just need to have a parent or guardian with you.
Parent or guardian with you. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, it is the Folk Festival Fall Fundraiser with the Sentries. They are pretty awesome. We're going to hear a little bit more of the music from them right now as we go out today. Thank you so much, Hannah and Reber, for coming in and sharing a little bit about this event that's going on next week. I really appreciate it.
Gonna cheese. Thank you.
Here's a song called She Saw Me Rockin' from the Sentries. And that will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find live stream archives of the show at KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you, never more important than now, and Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Grass, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juno Afternoon is a production of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Sheesh. Have a lovely Juno evening.